Billionaire investor Warren Buffett is furious over what's been happening in Washington. In an interview on CNBC today, he chastised lawmakers for using the debt ceiling as a negotiating tactic.
It is a political weapon of mass destruction, and both sides should say, we're not going to touch it, just like with poison gas, just like with nuclear weapons. It's too powerful.
One person who has a lot at stake in how Congress handles the debt ceiling is Bill Gross. He is co-founder of the Pacific Investment Management Company, or PIMCO, the world's largest bond fund, which manages about $2 trillion in assets, trillion with a T. He joins us from his offices in Newport Beach, California. And Bill Gross, what are your thoughts about the way Congress has handled this crisis so far and the impact it's had on Treasury bills?
I simply wonder, Jeremy, how long global markets will tolerate this dysfunctional behavior before it gives up on longer-term Treasury bonds that go up and down, you know, sort of like a merry-go-round or a carousel every few months.
Well, you say you really wonder. I mean, you're the one I would ask. How long are you going to tolerate this?
Well, you know, the primary players in this are certainly the Fed, and they will continue in terms of their purchasing of treasuries. They probably won't taper because of this. And in addition, the secondary, although very significant players, are China and Japan and holders of treasuries. In the last month, China has actually bought $70 billion worth of treasuries. Japan has sold a few. But the PIMCOs of the world, the Fidelities of the world, we're sort of in third place, although, you know, we have a view. And to the extent that this dysfunction continues for another 3 months and perhaps for years on end, then it would lead an investor to conclude that, you know, longer dated treasuries, could be significantly affected, if only because of the up and down volatility.
And what does that mean for ordinary Americans? Why should they care whether you invest in long-term treasuries or not?
Well, because treasuries set the tone for everything in the marketplace. Treasuries basically are the fundamental foundation for corporate bonds, for high-yield bonds, for stocks in terms of pricing. And investors look to treasuries and their yields. You know, yields on treasury bills now at 10 to 15 basis points and on 10-year treasuries at 2.7%. And everything is priced off of that in terms of corporate lending and home mortgages. A home mortgage at 4.5% is significantly tied to that 10-year treasury. And so if investors, you know, sort of despair in terms of, you know, the direction of treasuries and the volatility of treasuries and therefore raise their yields, then that affects the U.S. economy significantly.
What do you make of the move by Fitch, a ratings agency, to put the U.S. on notice that it could be downgraded? And how much of a difference would it make if Fitch joined S&P in downgrading? Because, as we know, two ratings agencies is very different than just one.
Yeah, it is for certain holders primarily in foreign space. I think it would be significant, if only that the result would be a 2-to-1 type of vote. It'd be Fitch and Standard & Poor's versus Moody's maintaining a AAA. But, you know, I think rating services are usually always behind the eight ball and can't really be totally trusted. They're politically influenced, and I think investors need to think for themselves as to what a dysfunctional government now or 3 months from now and seemingly forever means for treasuries, the dollar, and actually the U.S. economy. Two thumbs down from my standpoint.
Who do you blame for all of this?
Well, you know, if I had to pick sides, I'd blame the Republicans, but I do believe that both sides of the aisle are influenced by significant corporate money, and that check writing will influence our outcomes and our legislation for years to come. I would like to see a contribution-free election one of these days that permitted the people to vote as opposed to corporations.
What about the bigger picture here, Bill Gross? What does this continuing crisis in Washington mean for the overall economy, especially if we get through today and have something short-term that takes us only through another couple of months?
Well, you know, the government shutdown to this point affects, you know, some in terms of their paycheck, some government employees, but it also affects consumer confidence. That's fallen dramatically in the last few weeks, and it affects their willingness to buy retail and at stores and the like. You know, a default, in addition to the shutdown, would be 1,000 times as powerful because global financial markets and the ability to conduct daily commerce would be significantly reduced. But you know, up until this point, perhaps growth in the current quarter has been reduced by 0.2 or 0.3%. That's not significant, but if it continues, then you shave basically a half of the 2% expected growth rate off of our economy, and of course, you produce fewer jobs.
Bill Gross, while we have you, I just want to get your thoughts on a couple of things. What would it take to get this recovery really kicked up into top gear, to get us back to the kind of economic growth, maybe even 4 or 5% that we saw before the crisis?
I think that's going to be very difficult, Jeremy. I'll give you a few ideas, but I would suggest that from a structural standpoint, the headwinds of globalization and technology, what is known as the race against the machine, in other words, robotization, as well as demography, in which we have an aging workforce and an aging consumer base, you know, are strong headwinds to return to prior growth rates. But what would it take to do better? You know, it would probably take, you know, some type of concerted effort on the part of Republicans and Democrats to motivate investment in the United States. It's investment that really has lagged behind. We haven't really invested in our future. We've basically consumed but not invested. And so, you know, whether it's corporate tax reform on the Republican side or whether it's, you know, some type of infrastructure program on the part of the Democrats, you know, some combination in terms of the investment side would obviously lead to a stronger growth rate, although not an old normal growth rate.
We'll have to see what happens to investment now, given what's going on in Washington. Bill Gross, co-founder of PIMCO, that's the world's largest bond fund. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And Jeremy, our listeners are weighing in. Deanie Good says he never trusted the government to begin with and advises people to start stuffing their mattresses. Let us know what you think at facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Back in a minute, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.